Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, I'm glad I got you. I don't know what I would do. You're my rock, my friend too. Holding my hand, I'm gonna stand. Something done happened in my heart. I'm not foolish, now I'm smart. Praising each day right from the start. I'm gonna win. You took my sin. Thinking Sam made me so sad. It wasn't cool to be so bad. Fighting and crying was what I had. Now I'm free, got the victory. Satan, well, he comes around, invites me where I once was bound. I tell him just what I found. Lying with glee while he has to flee. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding his way is in his will. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding the way is in his will. Clap my hands and leap for joy. Clap my hands, leap for joy. Clap my hands and leap for joy. So living for Jesus, I can't stay still. No living for Jesus, I can't stand still. Finding his way is in his will.
Clap your hands, leap for joy. 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 Clap your hands, leap for joy.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Your Place. I'm Starla and tonight we'll be continuing in the series of the Restoration of Pentecost service. Tonight we'll be hearing from Brother David Smith. Our music tonight was courtesy of our very own Blog Talk Mom, Lyrica Lively, Rappin' Granny. We want to welcome you to another show where we are bringing you the services that were held earlier this year in Tennessee. They're called the Restoration of Pentecost, and several ministers were asked to preach. Tonight, we have David Smith again talking to you about rejoicing. And I warn you that tonight he started off like a bomb without any of the normal formal rituals that you have come to expect. It is clear that he was excited about what he was getting from these services and this service before coming to the platform to preach. He calls himself a helicopter preacher, because he starts off slow, but when he is airborne, you better just hold on. Well, tonight, he started off already elevated a few thousand feet, and what he has to share, what he had to share, I promise, all of you will enjoy and can take it to your heart to apply to your life. This is from a live church service, so at times the sound does not stay even, and we apologize for this. If this is the first time for you to call into this show, all you have to do is push 1 on your phone, and your phone number will show up, and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number before we place you on the air. We always welcome your comments or questions, and we do not ask for financial support for this program, but do ask that you go to our blog page and our Facebook page and click that you will follow our show. We don't want you to miss a chance to offer you an opportunity to get a financial blessing, and we have mentioned it a few times how you can be blessed by helping a young church with an offering to help them buy property to build a church. I promise you cannot outgive God. Send your donation in care of Wild Bill, 2709 Tallow Trace, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Make your check or money order to the sanctuary. Your canceled check will be your receipt for tax purposes. And now we'll hear Brother David Smith.
The Bible said, for this I say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a loud shout. I got news for you. If you don't like it loud, you better not be on my street. Because when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout, I'm going to buck, I'm going to snort, I'm going to scream, I'm going to run, I'm going to holler, I'm going to say, God, I've been waiting my whole life to see you. Shout with the voice, the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain. Bump your neighbor and say, that might be you. But we, which are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. Some of you, you're going to see your mama. You're going to see your daddy. I'm going to see Bishop. Some of you going to see your sons and your daughters and your grandmas and your grandpas. And all the way up, I'm going to be telling them, I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to see the Master. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Just for the next few minutes, I'm not a long preacher. You already know that. If you preach with me. If you don't preach with me, I don't have to leave till next Tuesday. And I brought the whole Bible, and there's a lot of stuff in that thing. And I'm telling you, I know a good bit of it. So I'm telling you, bump your neighbor and say, preach with that guy. Bump your neighbor and tell him, don't mess with the flow on my road. Y'all done good last night. I said, y'all worshiped last night. I enjoyed that. We had fun. How many was here last night? How many did God touch you last night? Anybody in the house, you got a miracle last night, or you got delivered, or got filled with the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name? But right after that passage that I read, there's one little scripture that said, rejoice evermore. Now, I don't know about you, but it's just plain and simple. He didn't put nothing. He said, just rejoice evermore. So for the next few minutes, I won't preach about rejoicing. This is restoration of Pentecost. You got to be happy about what God's doing. You got to be happy about what's about to happen. We're going to rejoice. I don't care what comes our way. We're going to rejoice. I'm going to preach just a few minutes. Rejoice evermore. I'm not going to tell you to sit down. You can do that on your own. I'm going to still stand. I believe in standing and preaching, so you do what you want. The whole fifth chapter, it was written by the Apostle Paul. He was instructing the church. He writes concerning, he said, edify one another. He said, I want you to be at peace among yourselves. He said, I'm warning you against being unruly. He admonishes to support the weak and to be patient toward all men. He said, see that none render evil for evil. But in verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. What do you mean? That when something's coming against you, you need to stay on your knees. And you need to say, God, I'm going to keep praying until something breaks. I'm going to keep speaking until something happens. I'm going to keep believing until something changes. I'm going to keep calling on your name until I feel something break in the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to patty cake, but I'm going to pray until something happens. I'm going to pray until I feel a release. I'm going to pray until I feel something begin to change. I wasn't going to say it, but I am going to say it. Sometimes we treating God like the drive-up window. We want to hurry up and pop in and get it and roll on out. Every once in a while, God makes sure that you know where your miracle, where your deliverance is coming from. Somebody asked me, why you think every once in a while my prayer hadn't been answered? I said, it could be that Jesus ain't for sure that he going to get all the credit when it gets done. My God wants all the credit. So if you got a problem, you just keep praying. If you got a situation, I'm going to stay there a little while. You just keep praying. If something's coming against your family, you just keep praying. If something's coming against your job, you just keep praying. If something's in your school, you just keep praying. If something's happening in your family, you just keep praying. Verse 19, he said, quench not the spirit. Now that gets on people's nerves right there. And you say, what do you mean, quench not the spirit? I'll show you what I mean, and it might happen right here, unless you can break out of it. Here's quenching the spirit. When you feel like shouting, and you don't shout. When you feel like running, and you don't run. See, when you feel like screaming, and you don't scream. See, when you feel like clapping your hands and you just kind of patty cake. See, he said quench not the spirit. What he was saying, if you want to shout, then shout. If you want to run, then run. If you want to scream, then scream. If you want to high-five somebody, high-five them. If you want to book, just go on and book. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. We might ought to try that. Anybody feel like running besides my one brother? Thank you. Anybody else feel like running? You say, oh, well, are you making us run? No, I'm just asking you, did you feel like it? Anybody else feel like getting out and shouting a little bit? Anybody else feel like clapping your hands? Anybody? I'm talking about rejoice evermore. Anybody feel like prophet? I'm talking about rejoicing. I'm talking about saying, I know my God can do it. Hey, I love it. Here we go. I got some scripture. I might stay here a little while. I'm having fun. He, verse 20, he said, despise not prophesying. You say, what do you mean by that? You ain't got to be a card carrier to prophesy. You ain't got to be Holy Ghost filled to prophesy. You ain't got to have all your ducks in a row to prophesy. You ain't got to have everything in order to prophesy. What you got to be able to do is open your mouth and say, I prophesy. Now you say, I better not. No. That's what you better do, because the devil tries to keep you from opening your mouth. I'm talking about stepping out on faith and say, I prophesy my husband's going to be saved. I prophesy my wife's coming back to church. I prophesy my children are going to be saved. I prophesy that something miraculous is that. Somebody better prophesy. Somebody better open your mouth. Somebody better begin to speak. I prophesy my diabetes is gone. I prophesy that my eyes are coming open. I prophesy that I'm getting out of that wheelchair. In verse 22, it said, abstain from the appearance of evil. But right in the middle of that great discourse of needful instruction, right in the middle of the thing that seemed like it was almost out of place, that's when he put verse 16 right in the middle of them, and he said, rejoice evermore. I've learned about rejoicing. It is a command, and if you obey it, it will unlock the doors to battles being won. I'm here to tell you, you need to rejoice in the Lord. C- Come on now. He didn't say rejoice some of the time. He didn't say rejoice when things were just going well. He didn't say rejoice when everybody's being your friend. He didn't say just rejoice when your favorite preacher is preaching. He said rejoice evermore. And that means always. That means a perpetual rejoicing. You say, well, you're just trying to pump us up. That's just some good motivational speaking. No, I've learned something about rejoicing. When you begin to rejoice, I'm telling you, the devil gets mad. Unfortunately, some churches have replaced joyful songs of victory with mournful sounds and depressing strings. Instead of blowing the trumpet of gladness and singing songs of jubilee, some prefer songs that magnify the misery of man and ignore the magnificence of God. Some have turned their churches into political places. Some have turned their churches into a fashion show. But I'm here to tell some they've even purposely avoided any show of emotion because they scared they might offend someone. I told our place not too long ago, they say we nuts. Don't you dare let them down. You better act crazy. You ain't got it yet. You better do something out of the ordinary. You better go ahead and say, I'm not doing it for show. I'm doing it because the devil is not going to defeat me. I'm doing it because I got power over the enemy. I'm doing it because I got victory. You see, rhetoric and logic, it's replaced God's word. Poetry and philosophy, it's replaced anointed preaching. I'm telling you here, I'm telling you, that Bible talks about a shout. I know they were setting at the beginning, but after they set, when the Holy Ghost fell, they begin to speak with tongues. They begin to worship, and I'm all good for teaching, but there's nothing that can take the place of an anointed preaching. There's nothing that can take the place of a church that says, I don't care what's happening, I'm going to worship my master. The Bible said that honor and majesty is before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. For the kingdom of God is not meat, it's not drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm not rebuking, I'm just giving some insight. Here we go. Not to rejoice implies that he is in here. Is he here? Then you ought to be rejoicing right now. Not to rejoice implies that he's not here. Not to rejoice implies that there's a lack of faith. Not to rejoice implies that there is an absence of hope and love. But my God said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I love shouting. I love worshiping. I love whistling. I know people hate it, but I don't care. I love worshiping. Ain't nobody going to stop me from worshiping. I'm not going to let no young person out worship me. I ain't going to let none of you my age out worship me. I ain't going to let grandma, grandpa out worship me. Because you know why? I've learned that my strength comes from when I begin to worship. My strength comes when I begin to praise and give him thanksgiving. See, 12 times. Thank you. There they come on. They're back on. 12 times in the letter to the Philippians, Paul told them to rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Some say, well, it's a lot of emotion. It's a lot of, yeah, hey, listen. And I'm not a big sports fanatic. But you know, people go nuts over football and baseball and basketball and hockey and soccer and OPP and IPP and all them other PPs. I mean, I'm telling you, people go nuts. I don't care about none of that junk. None of that means nothing to me. Some of you Tennessee boys, y'all done fell out right there. Y'all backslid. Y'all done got mad at me. I'm telling you, there is nothing more important than the kingdom of God. There is nothing more important than the house of God. There's nothing more important. They're not going to be playing football in heaven. Not on my street. So here we go. So some say, well, I don't know. That's a little out of the ordinary. So I just looked up some scriptures and just kind of threw them down. So the Bible says, I won't call them all out, but because it's a bunch of them. So here we go. He said, when to rejoice. The Bible says always. Before I start, I'm going to give you a little insight. We're all traditional. You ever notice? People come by and they say, praise the Lord, brother. And you say, oh, praise the Lord. Now, that ain't even Bible. But we do so much non-Bible stuff. I can't believe that. I don't try to do no non-Bible stuff. I try to feast and believe. I'm kidding. That ain't the Bible. That's just a joke. But they say, praise the Lord. And we say, oh, praise the Lord, Brother Burton. No, man, you got to read the Word. Now, if that man walked up to you and said, Brother Burton, say praise the Lord, then he would say, praise the Lord. But if you studied the Scripture, when they said praise the Lord, it wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. Look at y'all. See, y'all like, I'm telling you. So when he said praise the Lord, you know what they did? They began to praise the Lord. They begin to praise Him. Let's practice it. Praise the Lord. I love it. Praise the Lord. If you're sitting by somebody and they ain't doing it, look at them and say, praise the Lord. I'm not trying to pump you up. We're just having fun. We're just staying in the Word of God. The Bible said to rejoice evermore. So when somebody says, praise the Lord, now don't do what I did at General Conference. My wife said I made a fool of myself and made everybody on the elevator mad. But one of them guys, I won't name him. Anyway, he pressed the button and my wife just touched my arm because she knew I was going to do something stupid. But I'm already a little goofy. So if I do something stupid, you can't blame me because everybody here at GPC and Turnpoint, they know I'm goofy. Pastor Zunica reminds me every day, David Smith, you are, I won't even say, I'm goofy. But he opened that door, and I got that little pinch. And, of course, that traditional, praise the Lord, Brother Smith. I said, yes, sir. I got to praising the Lord. Son, the door's just shut. I know he wasn't coming on. My wife said, I cannot believe you've done it. I said, I'm praising him. I said, that's a command. I'm telling you, if we just learn how to obey that word, when that word said you had not because you asked not, open your mouth and start asking. When that word said praise him, praise him. When the word said you're going to battle, get ready. We're going to battle and we're going to win. So when to rejoice? Always. People say, well, why should we rejoice? Because the Bible said we're commanded. Where should we rejoice? Here we go. For all the, you know, the Spirit. Here we go. Where to rejoice? The Bible says, in whatsoever state you find yourself. In whatsoever state. So you can go down the road and get to rejoicing. You can be in your house and get to rejoicing. You can step out of your car at your job place and get to rejoicing. You can be in the lunchroom and get to rejoicing. You can be on your job and get to rejoicing. So you don't have to just rejoice in the church. You can rejoice anywhere. The Bible said to rejoice in whatever state that you find yourself in. Say, well, that's all that emotional stuff. So how should I rejoice? So I just went a little further. So I'm going to show us how to rejoice. Are you ready? The Bible said to rejoice in prayer. He said rejoice in preaching Christ. He said rejoice in faith. He said rejoice in godly living. He said rejoice in Christ's day. He said rejoice in sacrifice and service. He said rejoice in Christian fellowship. He said rejoice in the Lord. He said rejoice in worship of God. He said rejoice in the care of the church. He said, here you go for all apostolics. He said, rejoice in salvation. He said, rejoice in truth. He said, you know what? Why don't you rejoice when others walk in truth? He said, rejoice in salvation of souls. He said, rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Here we go. You'll love this one. He said, rejoice when your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm telling you, come on, restoration of Pentecost. You've got a reason to rejoice. God is about to open the floodgates of heaven. There's going to be signs. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be absolute. Well, he hadn't hit mine yet. I ain't done. He said, rejoice when you're tempted. Uh-oh. See, y'all didn't want to tell the truth there, so I'll say it again. I tell you like I told you last night. Just fake it till you feel it. You'll be okay. So here we go. Don't lie to yourself. Go on and tell the truth. Rejoice when you've been tempted. He said, rejoice when you've been tried. He said, rejoice when you've been sorrowful. He said, rejoice when you've been persecuted for my name's sake. He said, rejoice when you've suffered for Christ's sake. I'm here to tell somebody in the building, you got a right to rejoice. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what lawyers say. It doesn't matter what neighbors and friends say. It doesn't matter what, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the person right next to you says. You've got a right to rejoice. Because when you begin to rejoice, the devil gets nervous. That Bible said, praise the Lord. I know we all use it to get people pumped up, but I'm telling you, I just love it. He said, praise the Lord. He said, praise Him in the sanctuary. He said, praise Him in the firmament of His power. He said, praise Him for His mighty acts. He said, praise Him according to His excellence and greatness. He said, praise Him on the sound of the trumpets. He said, praise Him with the psaltery and harp. He said, praise Him with the timbrel and dance. He said, praise Him on string instruments. He said, praise Him on the organ. He said, praise Him on loud sounding cymbals. He said, praise Him on high sounding cymbals. All right, here we go. It's your turn. He said, let everything, not some things, not if you want to, not if you're thinking about it, not if you just say, well, he said, let everything. I'm going to say it again till you get it. He said, let everything. I got about two more rows. You'll get up in a minute. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. If you're in this house and you're breathing, you ought to be praising Him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. He said, the Lord's my light. He said, He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He said, the Lord is my strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? He said, when the wicked, even my enemy, even my foe, they come up to eat my flesh. He said, they stumble and they fail. You know why? Because it's hard to catch a rejoicing person. It's hard to hold down somebody that just can't stay still. It's hard to get a hold of somebody that says, I don't care what's coming my way. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to back away. I'm not going to get detoured, deluded, or delayed. I'm going to shout. I'm going to worship. I'm going to give Him praise. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to shout. I'm going to worship. I'm going to give Him praise. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to get, come on. This is your day to rejoice. He said, no hope should encamp against me. He said, my heart, it's not going to fear. He said, no war, it should rise against me. He said, in this, I'm going to be confident. You see, there's a reason that the enemy, I'll say it again, slowly. There's a reason the enemy gets worried when you get to rejoicing. Because he knows that when you get to rejoicing, you begin to connect up with the master. When you begin to just talk to him. When you begin to tell him about all your troubles. When you begin to speak to him. When you see, praise is when I tell somebody else how good God is. But worship is when I don't worry about nobody else. And I say, it's just me and you, God. It's just me and you. I'm about to give you all the worship I can give you. I'm about to give you all the thanksgiving I can give you. I'm about to do it, God. See, because the word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. But here it is. I'm almost done. He said, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice because your name. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. So you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and rejoice in sickness. You say, what? Yeah. Go ahead and rejoice in sickness. Because it's going to get better. And if it don't, no big deal. Just keep a positive attitude, and when the trump blows, you'll get to make it to heaven, and you won't have to worry about your sickness. So go ahead and rejoice in sickness. Go ahead and rejoice in pain. Oh, I know that sounds odd, but I done learned. Sometimes you can just rejoice your way out of your pain. Sometimes you can rejoice your way out of your sickness. Go ahead and rejoice. You say, why? Because my faith in God declares an assurance that the enemy will not prevail. I'll say that again. My faith in God declares there's an assurance that the enemy will not prevail. The Bible says that the Lord, he reigns. Let the earth rejoice, and let the multitudes of isles be glad thereof. I'm here to tell people in the building tonight, because we've been praying, we've been fasting, we've been coming every night, we've been worshiping, we've been rejoicing, we've been believing, we've been telling, we've been witnessing, we've been sowing seed into the community. We've been telling them, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to prophesy to you a little bit. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I am telling you this coming Sunday, this place is going to be filled to capacity. There's going to be lost and hurting people that are going to come to this house. There's going to be people received to get. Oh, you say, well, yeah, duh, we already knew that. I'm not just talking about just some happenstance. I'm telling you there's going to be an absolute downpour of the Holy Ghost. That glory cloud's going to rest in this house. I'm telling you tonight, you hear me, it can happen tonight, it can happen tomorrow night and the rest of the week, but you get ready. Blind eyes are going to be open. Deaf ears are going to come unstopped. Diseases are going to leave. Crooked limbs are going to go straight. But more than that, people are going to say, God, I am sorry for my sins, and I want the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why don't somebody rejoice? Because people are going to be saved. So you say, you think it's going to happen? I don't think it. I know it. I heard Sunday night, my God can't lie. I said, I heard Sunday night, God can't lie. So if God can't lie and he doesn't tell you, I'm telling you what's going to happen. There's people that you folks have been praying for years. They're just going to walk in and it's going to happen. There's going to be people that you witnessed to, and you thought they turned a deaf ear to you, and then all of a sudden something's going to hit them, and they say, you know what, I'm going to go on down there, I heard about it, I'm going to go on down there, I'm going to drive on down from this area and that area and this area and that, I'm going to get on down there and I'm going to see what God has for me. I'm telling you, it's going to happen in this house. Now, most of y'all know me. I didn't talk a lot about the Holy Ghost and signs and wonders and miracles. I just preached about rejoicing. But it's okay, because now we're fixing to transition God's going to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Because the Word said so. People can be baptized tonight because the Word says so. There can be signs and wonders and miracles tonight because the Bible said so.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. Oh Lord, I am yours.
That belong to him this morning. Hallelujah.
Oh, I love you, Jesus.
I love this verse.
Who am I that the eyes that see my sin could look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out the rain and calm the storm in me? Oh Lord, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, and Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am.
Everybody sing, I'm yours.
I'm yours.
Yes, Lord, I'm yours.
I'm yours.
And because I'm his this morning, I can say this.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Hallelujah. Say it with me now.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Because I am yours.
Lord, how are they increase that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me, and many there be which say of my soul, they say there is no help for you in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory. My voice,
when I awaken. I knew the Lord, He has sustained me.
I hope you enjoyed our program tonight. That last part of that song comes from the third chapter of Psalms. And, you know, it's funny when we put these shows together. Sometimes I don't really, I pray about what we put on the air. And a lot of times I do it a couple weeks in advance. And sometimes it's right there at the last minute. And I don't really get to listen to a lot of what it is. But if this program wasn't for anybody else, it was definitely for me, because it's real easy sometimes when you're under the press, when the burden is coming down, to get to wondering, like, you know, where's God? I don't understand why all this is happening. You know, I try to do right, and I go to church, and I try to support ministry, and we do the radio program, and sort of get on our little, you know, pity horse there just a little bit and ride that thing to death if you're not careful and not stop and really realize the power we have to rejoice and also to do it at all times. We talked about a little bit last week how some of the things I'm going through, and I get to trying to think, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, I really don't understand. And then you hear messages like last week's and this week's, and it kind of makes it clear, for one thing, God loves us, and He chastises those that He loves. And for another reason, He wants us to understand that it's not just like, you know, saying abracadabra or something and getting God to move on things. It's not just an automatic thing that you just put it in gear and drive. You know, there's some consequences for actions, and there's consequences for lack of action, and God does not want to be taken for granted. He's not going to share His throne with nobody. I love what the preacher said about that. You know, a lot of times He's wanting to make sure that you know who to give credit to. And I know so many times, especially like in this situation here, I get, you know, kind of worried because I got some things where I got hurt in my job, and then I got to deal with all the politics that's going on within my job and try to make sense out of what's happening. And you're trying to I got five different people I'm having to talk to every day, and I can't seem to get everybody all on the same page at the same time as to what they want me to do. And you're just like, I just can't take it anymore. You know, I just don't understand, you know. But it's just like this summer here, let's be realized, all I need to do is have faith in God, and I need to pray. I'm not supposed to get all upset. I'm not supposed to be just angry with what people are doing. I'm not even supposed to take it personal. I'm supposed to give it to God, and when you give it to God, He's going to carry the burden. But if you try to carry it too, you're going to end up getting squished sometimes if you're not careful. And I just want everyone to know that's heard this message tonight to take it to heart, to rejoice in God. If nothing else, just because you know your book is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, that's a biggie. because I sure don't want to go to a devil's hell. Starla, what did you think about our program tonight?
I thought it was excellent, and I also thought that it was a lot similar to what we had in Sunday school on Sunday with, the praise, and we're just to always praise him, and you can't go wrong with that.
That's right. It's so simple, but yet sometimes that becomes very hard. It's, a lot of things is simple when you get to thinking about it, but when the application of it, it's not quite so simple, at least not for someone hard-headed like me. I just have a hard time getting myself out of the way and just letting God be God, and he has to kind of put me in a position where I have to do that. In the situation I'm in now, I can't do anything but turn it over to God. You know, I don't have any other options. Looks like we got Blog Talk Mom with us tonight. Blog Talk Mom, what'd you think about it?
Oh, I just was just weeping in that last song. Just topped it up like the icing on the cake. Thank you, Wild Bill and Sister Starla, for all the hard work and all that you do to bless us with this wonderful program. And it was such an anointing that Psalms 3 it's just wonderful. If you think it is, you can just dwell on that forever and ever. And just thou, O Lord, you know, to think that the Lord is our shield. And what is he saying? He's saying that, yeah, the arrows are going to come, the rocks are going to be slung, the all of the stuff, but you're our shield. And thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. The glory and the lifter up. Yeah, our head gets down, you know, call it whatever, but it's a very real, life is real. You know, we don't wear a mask, we don't deny it, it's real, and it hurts. And then he comes along and he lifts our head, and we look into that beautiful, wonderful, loving face and know that he loves us and he's with us right through every situation. And, oh, this was very good. I needed it. It was just super wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being with us. I tell you that when he first started off on where he was talking about prophesying, I thought, where in the world is he going with this? This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then, but, you know, there's life and death in the words we speak. You know, he was letting
Amen.
Us know in rejoicing we can speak things to happen, and God's given us authority that those things will happen. But it's up to us. Are we going to hang on to the promise, or are we going to do like I do a lot of the times and get in front of God's shield where he's being my shield? And I got this in the Lord, and this thing I know I'm popped upside the head like, wow, how did I get here on the ground again? What happened, you know? Lord, where was you at? He's like, I was right here. Why didn't you stay behind the shield? And, you know, hard-headed Bill, he has to run out there and try to fix it on his own, and, you know, there we are. It's just, there's something about rejoicing. And I loved how he talked about how that rejoicing can go from praise to go into worship. And there is different dimensions of going into praise and worship with God. But it's hard when things are going bad to sit up there and thank God for putting me in that situation. I mean, it may not be for none of y'all, but I don't like where I'm sitting right now, all this, you know, storm and things that are going on in my life. And I like it when things are going really good, you know, when I can go to work and I'm feeling good, and I may not like where I'm going, but I'm getting plenty of miles and I'm making enough money to pay my bills, and you know, I go and just to get home to make it to church on Sundays, and you know, that I'm just happy as a pig in the slop when everything's going like that. Next thing you know, you're hurt and you can't go to work, and you got all this company politics that's going on between two different companies because your company's bought out by another, and I'm like, Lord, I ain't happy, you know. But what happens in that situation, a lot of times, and I'm speaking about myself here, I forget to talk to God about it. I just take it for granted. He knows what's going on, and he's just going to fix it. But that's not how it works. You know, we got to ask for these things. Seek. We got to knock. That scripture was mentioned twice. I loved how he did it. He goes, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. He wanted us to get that. There's a reason that's mentioned twice. He was like, pay attention here, understand. You know, then the other scripture he quoted tonight about how we don't get things because we don't ask. And, you know, it's one of those things that I find that I'm very much guilty of at times, especially when it comes to things concerning self. And I've talked about this before. Boy, I'm really good to pray for my brothers that I work with when things are going bad and, you know, pray that God blesses them. And I really have faith to believe that God's going to move in those situations. And I need to just realize that in myself I'm right in understanding that the past mistakes and things that I do wrong and the times that I fall, that my value is limited in all that is me. But what gives me value is God says, you're my precious child. You're grafted in. You're part of my family. You know, we're joint heirs. And you get to thinking about that and like, wow, I'm a child of a king, you know,
right?
Because he made me a child of a king, not because I had a birthright that I deserved. My birthright that I deserved is hell. The sin that came on mankind, you know, we could put it off from year to year, but we wasn't redeemed from our sin. But God said, I'm going to be your redeemer. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. I'm going to become the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for you for your salvation. So anyway, I didn't mean to go on quite so much there. Starla, did you have anything else?
No, I think you guys covered it marvelously.
What about you, Blog Tom? Nobody else is pushing one on their phone, so I guess we've made them speechless.
Well, I don't recall if I mentioned this when I talked with on the program, but I was preparing a lesson, and several lessons for a trip I made, and one of the all the way through all of them, there would be the fact that we suffer in this life, we suffer rejection, and sometimes that rejection is the seed and the plant, you know, the fruit of that is leads to alcoholism and drug addiction, other kinds of serious problems in our life because of rejection. And when I was studying for that, and it led to the fact that when Adam and Eve the whole garden was beautifully put together so that everything was for them. It couldn't have been any more wonderful. And they were right there in the presence of God, right there. They walked with him, but they rejected him. You know, we dwell a lot of times on the fact that they disobeyed and they lusted, but actually, literally, they rejected him. And so rejection entered into the world and has been here and is still here, and God wants us to know that he'll never, you know, that scripture that he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. And that word, I think I did mention it before, but that word in the original means five times. It's like you saying, I'll never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. And that's what we rejoice about. Yeah, it's rough. In fact, I've been blessed, I think, the greatest when I visited people. Maybe they're in the hospital and I mean, it's just horrible that, you know, that what they're going through. And I go to encourage them, and I go away so encouraged. they've found that place rejoicing in the midst of all of their pain and suffering. And that, and it's so powerful. And that last verse in Psalms 3, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, and then it says Selah, which means think about that. Wow, that's so good. I mean, I have really been blessed with the program tonight. Thank you so much. And that song was so good at the beginning.
I figured you'd like that one a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I appreciate it.
Well, if nobody else has anything to add, we're going to go ahead and close it down for this week. And Lord willing, we'll be back with you next Tuesday night. So God bless each and every one of you, and y'all have a good night.
Thank you.